There's a hit for you. Hey, listen, we're going into, I guess we're coming out of the long weekend. We didn't talk about May 2-4 at all. You know, and I noticed that as you get older and if you got kids that are in school, like May 2-4 used to be the biggest weekend of the year. You're in high school, university.
Dude, it was cottage and 100 million beers.
Yeah, exactly. Really? That. The hip, a cottage, and so many beers. And now, you know, you got kids in school, you got different things going on. It just kind of came and went.
Yeah. But, you take the day off. That's what you do. You take the day off. You enjoy that extra,
enjoy that Monday off.
Exactly.
Best bets brought to you by FanDuel again later in the hour. The Jays losing again today. And, man, did they struggle in this stretch against the big boys in the AL East. They had dropped 3 or 4 against the Yankees. They got swept against the Orioles. And they just dropped 3 or 4 down at the Trop. You know, 2-9 against the Yankees, Orioles, and Rays. They've lost 13 of the last 15 against the American League East. And to chat about it, we're joined by a guy who's been covering this team for a long time, was working with this team for a long time.
Yeah.
One of our favorites. Used to be a regular on the show. Maybe he's back in the rotation. I don't know. GriffsThePitch.com. I love that handle, too. Here's our main man, Richard Griffin. Griff, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. There's three things when I worked for the Jays for 4 years. There's three things that I really, really missed. Was playing golf, coaching baseball, and being on overdrive. And now this completes my hat trick right there.
Awesome. Great having you on.
We love you.
Love having you back.
So, Griff, would Griff the PR guy be mad at Griff the media mogul and having to talk about this team right now?
Well, I always thought that as a PR guy, I was a better PR guy with 95 losses than with 95 wins. So I'm heading in that direction. I might still be here by the season.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's a difficult situation, and Manoah's at the center of it. Vlad is sort of there. And to me, that was two of the main reasons why they had a team meeting, a secret team meeting, where they wouldn't let the media in the clubhouse.
Yeah, and that's apparently a point of concern for Matt Chapman. He doesn't understand why that got leaked. Like, Schneider was speaking openly about it. And obviously, you know the way this works. The media tries to get in. They can't. They go to the manager. They say, hey, the doors are closed. Obviously, the players are speaking. Like, if you put yourself back in the shoes of trying to operate the public relations, how is that not going to get out? Like, obviously, the media knows that they're having a closed-door meeting.
Yeah, it's not that big an issue for the media because it's a day game. I know they probably got flights to catch, probably from Orlando. But, you know, as a PR person, you're out there. Media's waiting. There's a routine that they go through. Like, as soon as John Schneider's ready with his answers and prepped on what questions will probably be asked, he comes out to the screen. And when that doesn't happen, the media wants to know why it didn't happen. So for Chapman coming from Oakland, I don't think they had any media covering after game. So it was cool.
Right.
Griff, you mentioned Manoah and Schneider. They always say the players kind of know. How do you think Schneider going out to the mound and butchering the rule and then Manoah having to come out, how do you think that resonated with the players? Do you think they were like, man, this is amateur hour. How could you screw something like that up? Because the big thing was details, and you got to be on top of stuff, and it's got to be more of a, you know, driven team, a veteran team, and you got to be hard-nosed and all this stuff. Like, how would that have went over with the players?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, here was Manoah with his best start since Yankee Stadium in mid-April. And his manager comes out and asks him if he wants to stay, and he has to take him out. I mean, that is going to be a moment that stands in John Schneider's history until he wins something, wins a World Series, wins an American League pennant. I mean, for John Gibbons, it was fighting Ted Lilly in the hallway. For Charlie Montoyo, it might have been when he overruled Vlad, waving him off for the review for the replay, and did it anyway. And Vlad was right. They didn't win the replay, and it was a key moment. You know, every manager, until they win, has stuff like that going on. But to explain what happened with Schneider, the second baseman, Adam Frazier, argued a check swing, and that started a confrontation, a verbal confrontation, with Manoa. And when Manoa gets in verbal confrontations, that means he's pitching well, because otherwise he's just moping around the mound and looking at the grass. But in this situation, Schneider decided that he had to go out and talk to him, because that's how you deal with a young kid who's emotional all the time. And since they had Mazur warming up for the whole inning, I think that Pete Walker and Don Mattingly said, well, I guess he's going out to take him out. And, you know, they didn't tackle him, which if nobody had been warming up, they definitely would have. I think they thought he had made up his mind to take him out. And when that happened, I'm surprised that none of the players had said, hey, Schneider, you know, this is your second trip to the mound, so you've got to take him out. I'm surprised right. that didn't happen. But it's a young manager and, you know, relatively speaking, 43 years old. And, I mean, I remember when he went on your show for the first time, you guys at the end of it, after you let him off, said, oh, yeah, I think I remember seeing him standing next to Charlie Montoya in the dugout. Now, less than a year later, he's on the firing line.
Right. Yeah. But, it's quick. It turns quickly, man. Quick. That's the nature of the beast.
The game moves quickly, too.
Sure does.
Griff, that was one kind of butchering from Schneider, but a lot of it's been on Manoa. Like, what do you think's up with him?
Well, I think that, like, for instance, today, he had a private screening of the perfect storm going on in his head. You know, it's like he thinks somebody comes out of it all right. He's not sure what the damage to the boat will be, and he knows you're going to lose some of the crew. But this has been going on with him all season. I think it built up from the off season when he finished third in Cy Young voting. You know that five of the top eight salaries on the Blue Jays are starting pitchers. And his is the sixth, because we're counting Hyunjin Ryu. And his is barely above minimum. And he was renewed. And if he gets sent to the minor leagues, his salary gets cut in half because he's on a split contract. So I think a lot of that plays in his head. Like, he had a winter where he was in the spotlight. MLB Network was all over him, endorsements. And then he comes to spring training, and they renew him in early March with a split contract. And he struggles with the pitch clock. He struggles with all those rules because he's a guy who goes on adrenaline. He steps off the mound in the best of times before the pitch clock, and he stares in at the hitter, tries to intimidate him, rubs the ball up, gets back on the mound. That's all more than 15 seconds. And now he listens to Chris Bassett and guys like that saying how they're going to work the pitch clock to their advantage. So you see it today. He's running the pitch clock down to 3-2-1, and the runners are taken off. They're stealing seven bases against the Jays today. And
seven,
a lot of those
seven.
Were of his predictability and his struggles with the pitch clock.
Yeah, that seems like something that should be very evident here, right, Griff? Like, there has been a tangible change to where the game is played. And right? Like, it's not that he's not pitching well, clearly. Like, he's having a difficult time getting out of jams. He's getting hit. His numbers are so bloated. Like, it's so extreme in terms of how poorly he's performing. But that is the one thing. Like, it's a smoking gun. There's a pitch clock now. And there wasn't his first 2 years. And he's clearly really struggling with that. But it's not going to change.
He went to the Cape Cod League as a sophomore at West Virginia. And he found himself. He found who he was and how he could be successful. Went back to West Virginia, had a great junior year, was drafted in the first round, had big family, a close family situation, and went to the minor leagues and just was on a heater for 2 years in the minor leagues, and then came to the major leagues, and it continues. So this is really the first adversity, and it relates to the pitch clock. It relates to him being 24 years old. It relates to him being immature. It relates to him not getting the contract. And I've seen this so often over my 51 years in the game. you don't get your contract. Like, I remember the first time I saw it, the guy was holding out for $25,000 and they wouldn't give it to him. No, I'm kidding. But I'm not kidding about the history of contract issues. And, you know, it's early in the season, 50 games into the season, and so far the only winners are the guys who had the 50-50 in April.
Yeah.
Griff, in hockey, I played with some tone setters, whether it be a Kevin Dineen, Gary Roberts, Brendan Shanahan, and they would take it upon themselves to lead the charge and go out there and let everyone know that they meant business and that you had to follow along. Would you agree with Steve Phillips, who we had on earlier, who said George Springer kind of has to be that guy where he's the veteran guy, he's the leadoff guy, and he could be a tone setter? Is he the one that's got to kind of lead the charge here?
I do agree, O, and I believe that he's the guy who called the meeting today. I'm not sure of that, but just from some of the TV shots in the dugout, in the eighth inning, it looked like Vlad had lost his dog. He was sitting there just staring off, not even thinking about the game that was at hand. But all of a sudden in the ninth inning, he comes up as the tying run in a 6-3 game with a chance, with a swing of even a ball up the alley to make it a one-run game and be in scoring position himself. And he wasn't ready. First pitch, he grounds out to end the game. And I'm sure that's the sort of thing that Springer saw. Springer would have seen Manoah's bitching with Pete Walker after he got taken out. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't deserve to stay in longer than three innings. He had already thrown close to 90 pitches. So I do think that Springer is the catalyst behind this, and Chapman is just along for the ride.
With Richard Griffin. But what's interesting about Springer, he was DHing last night, and today it's a scheduled day off. And, like, not even a pinch hit situation. Like, what's up with that?
Yeah, I think he did grab a bat. I think he drew a walk in that game, but in the ninth he drew a walk. But whenever that happens with Springer, that means he's hurting more than he's let. He doesn't talk about his injuries. I mean, I remember the first year that he was with the Jays, and we were down in Texas and trying to get him to make an appearance in front of the media and talk about his injury, and he didn't want to do it because it was worse than the club was letting on. So I think it's a situation like, you know, it's not load management as much as it is looking ahead to the next 30-40 games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and listen, he's not a young guy, and he's been struggling. You know, it's weird. Like, you look at when they have everyone cooking here, Griff, they still have the makings of an offensive team that should be elite, right? Like, should be an upper echelon team. And they had a strong April. You know, Chapman swung the other way. Kirk has not got off the mat. Springer's not gotten off the mat. You know, Varsho hasn't found a role. He got pinched hit. It was pinch hit for, you know, in the ninth inning today. But, like, do you believe that once everyone's cooking, Bichette's been great all year, Vladdy's still been good, I think there's another level for him, like, that there's belief here that if they get cooking offensively and everyone's kind of hitting the way that they're capable of hitting, that they can still be somewhat of an offensive juggernaut once it gets rolling in the right direction?
Well, I would say that we talked earlier about the contracts, the biggest contracts being the starting pitchers. You know, Manoah's the biggest letdown in that group. And I think Barrios is, my point is that the starting pitching gives you a chance to be in every game for 5 or 6 innings. And that's where you need the auxiliary offensive guys you talk about. I mean, there's no doubt that Bo and Vlad back-to-back are among the top 5 back-to-back hitters. You put Trout and Ohtani. You put the guys in St. Louis in there. And you look at the Major League OPS totals, and Chapman, Bo, and Vlad are in the top 25 in Major League Baseball. Then you got to drop down into the hundreds for the next guy. Mm-hmm. So they need the support around them. You can't just have those three guys, and once you get through the bottom, through the top of the order in the seventh, you go, uh-oh, we're done, because, you know, the next 6 guys are coming up to end the game in the last 2 innings. You can't do that. You need support. But I think the starting pitching is the key in terms of being able to keep them in games for 5 or 6 innings, and then the bullpen and the rest of the offense has to step up.
Well, Griff, you're a legend. We love having you back on.
Yep.
We've missed you for years. Obviously, you were a busy man, but and you're still busy. You're still doing a lot. Again, the website, griffsthepitch.com, and we love having you back in the swing of things here, Griff, and hopefully we get a chance to do it again soon.
I personally would like to say thank you, Griff, and I really enjoyed that conversation.
There
Let's do it again
yes.
soon.
Yes.
Yeah. me and baseball are like those two cowboys on Brokeback Mountain. I wish I knew how to quit.
Well, there you go. You're still rolling. You're still doing it, man, and the games right, continue. Thank you, Griff.
Anytime.
There he is, Richard Griffin. And, yeah, he's been covering this game. He's been in the game for 50 years.
Wow.
Griff. Yeah, working with the Expos, writing for the Star forever, the Jays. You know, that's...
Beauty.
That's him, it. You know. And, yeah, so there you go. The Jays, you know, they lose again today, and they're still above 500. They're still over 100 games. Like it's a long season. Things are not going their way right now. He makes a good point, the rotation. You know, these guys are paid to perform. The one guy who's not getting paid is Manoah. But,
yeah.
Like, Barrios getting paid, Kikuchi's getting paid, Gausman, Bassett, that's where they've invested their money, is these five guys who are all healthy.
Right.
Go out there and give them starts, give the offense a chance, you know, to you don't have to put up monster numbers every single night. It shouldn't be the case, but that has been the case for the most part recently. And, again, they dropped three or four in Tampa.